almost forgot to tell you my bag of goodies is up here. Remember last week it was oatmeal and breakfast stuff? Look, I got Pop-Tarts in here, some chocolate oat bars, some maple brown sugar oatmeal, instant oatmeal. Don't forget to bring, and we keep our food stock. If you see on the back of your bulletin next week is, I think it was the pasta sauces. So keep an eye on that. We need to keep those families fed out there in that food bank out at Green Valley. Also, I think we had a safety committee meeting tonight that will be postponed. We'll do that another night. And I think that's got all my announcements out of the way. Probably think of some more. I have been up, Barry, but it's just been the Lord. I just felt like the Lord's going to do something. Do you ever get excited? And He already has. I don't know about you, but if you ain't excited, something wrong. Your wood might be a little wet or something. We need to work. He's got some tests tomorrow. We need to remember him. Thank you, Grace. Let's open God's Word. Mindset of victory today. A mindset of victory. You know, I was reading and thinking about, I'm amazed at what people, we have all kinds of seminars that we can go to about being successful in life. I mean, you guys might have been one in business and all these things. We're in Philippians 1, 19 through 26. And I'm amazed because some of the stories that was written, I was in a book, University of Success, and it's edited by Og Mandino, and he was talking about the universal qualities of a successful people. And he discussed, and look what he said. Some of the things that he said was that all successful people have a clear purpose in life. All successful people have a clear purpose in life. They have a compelling reason to get out of bed in the morning, and that driving purpose keeps them on track and makes them ultimately successful. The writer also points out that without a clear purpose, no one can be considered successful, no matter how much worldly fame he or she may achieve. Wow! What a thought today. A clear purpose in life, that thing that gets you out of bed. And in our scripture today, a mindset of victory, we're going to see what it was about the Apostle Paul as we continue in Philippians today. And let's stand to our feet and read God's Word. Philippians 1, 19 through 26. Philippians 1, 19 through 26. And it says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and to the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor, yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of the faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. Bless your time. God, I pray you'll hide me behind the cross, and may your word go forth. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. So if this book, University of Success, says that a clear purpose in life, that thing that gets you out of bed, then Paul must have understood that, didn't he? He must have understood, as we're reading through Philippians, and he's writing this book out of a jail cell, and he's encouraging his church that he planted there in Philippi. And I want us to see today three truths that reveal Paul's mindset of victory. Three truths in today's word. And I want you to see first, Paul's confidence. Paul's confidence in 19 through 20, and look what it says. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or death. One of the truths that we still see in Paul for his mindset of victory is his confidence. Paul's confidence. What did he have confidence in? Look, first he had confidence in the promises of God, for he said, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. Paul had a promise. He realized that he was in God's hands. To know is actually the Greek word that means to have certainty. He knew. Now, he was not talking about prison itself. He wasn't talking about, now, I know that I'm going to get out of this jail cell in Rome. I want you to see the context of this. He realized that he was going to be delivered, but we're going to see it's not might not be in the way that we're thinking here out of that jail, but it might be that he was going to be, his life be taken. And we'll see that fleshed out. But he had confidence in the promise of God. Why? Because Paul had written a few years earlier to Romans in Romans 8:28. Remember what he said? He said that he knew that all things will work out for good. All things. It doesn't matter what you're facing. He said, all things will work out for good to those that love the Lord according to his purpose. Paul could rest on that, man. When you're like chained to that old soldier over there and you don't know life or death's coming. He's not praying about, oh, God, tell him, ask him to save me from this jail. I'll say that time and time again. He's not saying, church, pray for me because I'm in this hardship. You know what he's saying? He's saying, man, I know that God's going to deliver me. Why? Because he has confidence. He has confidence in the promises of God. He realized that he was an instrument of God's in God's hand. God had used him to pen some of the greatest scriptures that we're even looking at today. Paul knew and he found confidence in knowing that he was right where God wanted him to be. But not only that, not only did he have confidence in the promises of God, he had confidence in prayers. Look at that next part. He said, not only, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance, but through your prayers. Through your prayers. Do you know James 5:16, and I had a good friend of mine, we was quoting it this week when he's hanging out, that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer is the key in our life. If we're going to have this mindset of victory, if we are to live no matter what faces, what comes our way, no matter what we face or what you might be facing today, and I know some of you have hardship in your life, and some of you are probably against some pretty rough times, but you know what? You can have confidence. You can have a mindset of victory because you can have confidence in the promise of God, but also through the prayers of God's people. Nothing is more encouraging to somebody when you get a call and say, I'm praying for you. You ever got one of those calls when you find out? It doesn't matter what you're facing, Brooke, to think about Henry and his surgery. Man, that's tough on Mom and Daddy. We ought to be praying about those things. Freddie facing that surgery tomorrow, Grace, it brings you comfort to know that we're praying for Freddie and that test tomorrow. I mean, think about the testimonies that we have that whenever you was going through those tough times when somebody just cared enough about you to say, you know, I'm praying for you. Care for you. Wow, how important that is in our life and in our church family. Man, that's so important in our church family. Are we praying for each other? Are we praying for our church family? Are we praying for our community? Are we praying that God's will, what does God want in our lives, not only individually but corporately? Are we praying that we have confidence in God through prayer? But not only confidence in the promise of God and confidence in prayer, but confidence in the provision of the Spirit. Look what he says, and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That's what he says there in 19. Through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Do you know that the Spirit is our source of power? The Holy Spirit of God. In fact, Jesus told his disciples, he's getting ready to leave them, they're all tore up, bless their heart, they didn't understand that what's going on, their Savior's getting ready. And he said, it's important that I leave, he said, because when I leave, I'm going to send one to you. He said, liken to myself, this Paracletus, that one that comes alongside of us, the Holy Spirit of God. And when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell every believer. What a great promise, a great hope, but great power that we have, the power to overcome any situation. And Paul's saying, man, that confidence in the provision of the Spirit. because he said in Acts 1:8 when Jesus told him there. Remember what he said? He said, now when this happens, you go to Jerusalem and you wait for the promise that I told you. He said, because when the Holy Spirit comes, you'll receive power. You'll receive power from the Holy Spirit when it comes upon you. You remember that? I'll tell you how much power it was. It took Peter from a coward and made him a professor, didn't he? Out there in front of the same ones that had crucified Christ, and he said, you did it. That same guy that had hid the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It can be manifest in the mindset of victory is understanding these things, having confidence in the provision of God and the prayer of God, and in the provision of His Spirit. God's Word, the Word of God, the prayers of the saints, and the power of the Holy Spirit always work together for the servants of God to live in victory. Listen to that again. The Word of God, the prayers of the saints, and the power of the Holy Spirit always work together for the servants of God to live in victory. I was reminded again, I was talking to a good friend this week. I've already talked about it in one of the earlier lessons. You know, we don't share, we don't live and share Christ for victory, but from victory. We're victorious from victory, from the victory that Christ gave us on the cross and through His Holy Spirit that indwells us. That's why we give. That's why we go out into this world. That's why we share. What a tremendous tragedy with the young man dying this week. What can comfort that? What can bring only one thing? Jesus. And the power of His name can comfort a situation like that. The world's so desperate for hope. And we have it. It's wrapped in these old earthen vessels, the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we see Paul's victory, this mindset that he had, but also confidence in the plan of Christ. Confidence in the promise of God, confidence in the prayer, confidence in the provision of the Spirit, but also confidence in the plan of Christ. And he says there in 20, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. You know what? Paul knew he was not his own. He had been bought with a price. God had a plan for his life, and Jesus promised to never leave him and forsake him. You see, you know that story, which it keeps coming up in Paul's writing, that on that road to Damascus, when he was persecuting the church, he was a church hater. He was anti-Christian. Christ struck him down off of that old horse, man. Knocked him down, and he was blinded. And he had that conversation with our Lord. Who is it, Lord? Who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, whom you persecute. From that day on, he became a vessel. You remember? A vessel. And that's what we see today. The power of the Holy Spirit rested upon him. He knew he'd been bought with a price. Do we know that? Do we know that we've been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ? That he shed that for us? That he gave his life a ransom for the songs that we sing about and we celebrate? And why do people get so tore up and people testify? Because they get a hold of the understanding. Yeah, the solid rock that we stand upon cannot be moved, cannot be shaken. It don't matter what storms of life come your way. That rock stands firm. And it's Jesus. It's Christ in our life. He had confidence in the plan of God. It didn't matter. He was looking at a jail cell and possibly death. But that we're going to see one of his greatest secrets where he wasn't afraid to die. The truth be known. We have that fear of death. And we say, you know, I'm confident that Christ is going to see us through. There's a part of it that we don't understand. That a part of it that still haunts us, so to please, if you please. It's that when the psalmist said in Psalms 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and yet that's the life that we walk. We walk in the valley of the shadow of death. But he goes on to say, I shall fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort. You see, the psalmist understood, yes, death is a part of life. Praise God, it doesn't end here. That's what makes people hopeless when all they have is the here and now, the temporal, the few years that we have upon this earth. If that's all we had to trust in and rely on, how sad life would be. But we have an eternity. Every person in this room will spend eternity living forever, in either in a place called heaven or a place called hell. They have but two choices. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through the Son, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Paul understood this. His confidence came when he could go back to that old road. What was he on the way to Damascus? He was a murderer of the church, and he became a preacher of the church, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He knew he wasn't his own. God had changed him. You know what? A Corinthians said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. I stand before you today just an old redneck, saved by sinner, saved by grace. Tried everything of the world it had to offer. And you know what? Sin was fun, but it didn't last very long until the next thing tried to make me happy and make me pleased. If you're on that route, I can guarantee you this road where it leads to. It leads to nothingness. No satisfaction, no completeness. But when Christ got a hold of my soul, man, he's got me up here preaching to a bunch of great people that I love that so much better, could probably do so much better job than I could. Because of why? Not because of me, but because of Jesus Christ and his blood. If he can save me, he can save anybody in this room. Don't you let him tell you, but I need to quit doing this. I need to get this straight in my life. If I could quit doing it, Jesus didn't need to come. It's all about him. And Paul's finding his confidence, man. He realized he had confidence in Christ, in the plan of Christ in his life. 1956. How many of you were alive in 1956? Raise your hand. But you can remember. That's okay. I wasn't. I'm just raising my hand with you, but I wasn't too far from being that. I wasn't too far from that. I'm sorry. I was just talking about you. Some of you guys might remember this, but there were five guys. I actually have shown this movie to my J team. They don't understand. Anna said, "Why in the world did you show us this movie?" She didn't really understood the end of the spear was the name of it. She didn't understand the significance behind it, and maybe I'll help her today. But they were five men: Nate Saint, Ed McCauley, Peter Fleming, Roger Yoderman, and my hero of the faith, Jim Elliott, all under the age of 35. They gathered in Ecuador because they had a vision for reaching a lost tribe there. It was called the Aucas, which means, it meant savages. Savages. That's the other tribe's name on that, because they killed everybody that they came in contact with. Yet these five promising young men, very intelligent, very smart, graduated from Wheaton College, all these things had going for them. They had a heart to go and share the gospel with these Indians. On January 8, 1956, at about 3:30, on a little sandy beach on Curaway River in Ecuador, they were speared to death by those Indians that they went to share the gospel with. Speared to death, five guys. The whole world was tore up, by the way. And everybody thought, what a waste. What a waste. Many people wondered how these promising young men, what a waste of their life. And Jim Elliott wrote in his journal, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Think about that. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. I think Paul would agree with that. We'll come back to that story in just a little bit. Not only Paul's confident, but next was Paul's confession. Look at verse 21. "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Here is Paul's mission statement and the key to the mindset of victory. I want you to fill in this blank this morning. Look, to me to live is what? Now I want you to understand, you cannot remain, you can't keep it blank. You can't. For me to live is what? If it's not Christ, what is it that goes in that blank? Oh, you might be a sports person. You might love basketball, football. You might like hobbies, hunting, fishing. Anything could go in there to where that's your whole life is consumed by. It might be your job, what your career is. It's supposed to be Christ. For me to live, and Paul said, is Christ. And we have to fill in that blank this morning. What is it that our life is? Why is it that we live our life? And what is it that consumes our life? F.B. Myers wrote in a quote, look what he said. F.B. Myers said that Christ is the essence of your life, the model of your life, the aim of your life, the solace of your life, and the reward of our life. Wow. That encompasses everything. Is to live Christ in your life. You know, how could Paul say such things if you think about it? It's because, you know, they wasn't going to put him in a cemetery. He was looking for a sanctuary, wasn't he? He wasn't worried about death. or what was going to come this way. He knew that to die, guess what? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, let me give you hope today. When you take your last breath, you're in front of Jesus. That's what the Bible says. To be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. And when we lose our loved ones that are in Christ, guess what? Their presence is with the Lord. What a great testimony to think about, and we can hang on to him. For Paul, so it didn't matter for him if he died. Why? Because he's going to be with Jesus. Listen to this. I read about a headstone in a cemetery in Alabama. Listen to what it said. Under the clover and under the trees, here lies the body of Jonathan Pease. Pease ain't here, only the pod. Pease shelled out and went home to God. I think old Pease had a hold of it, didn't he? Guys, we do. We fear death. We fear death. The angel of death, all these things, but Christ took care of that. He took the sting. Where, O death, is thy victory? Where, O death, is thy sting? Paul had a hold of this, and he had that confidence to realize without to be absent from the body is present to the Lord. So no matter what happened, you don't have to fear death. A Christian, and be careful, and I think I alluded to this, but a Christian is immortal until God's finished with him. You believe that? You're in God's plan. You're walking in his will. Guess what? Death is not going to take you until God is done with you. Paul knew that. That's why he could say such things. To live as Christ and to die is gain. To make his life verse, his mission statement. Well, not only Paul's confidence and Paul's confession, but look lastly, Paul's conflict. In 22 through 26, he says, "But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I am hard pressed between the two, having desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of the faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again." See, Paul's conflict was that his life was not all about him. It wasn't all about Paul. And so what he realized, hey, I'm going to go to be with Jesus if I die. But, you know, I'm realizing that I'm torn here. And guess what? Paul didn't have no choice in the matter, by the way. It was God that had to do it. But he said he just didn't know what Christ was going to do in his life. Was he going to spare his life so that he could be more help to them? Or was he going to take his life where he could go on to be with Jesus? Paul was in a win-win situation. He had a mindset of victory. There's some things that's going to last forever in this room, by the way. You know, time lasts long enough. This God carries is coming, you know, this in a couple hundred years. Well, the church might be here, you know, but it'll corrode. All these things go, but there's some things in this room that's going to last forever. One of them is this word, forever. Oh, Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. We'll spend eternity tapping and plumbing its depths. Other thing is people. People last forever. God's word and people are the two things that can last forever in this room. We should be expending ourselves on those two things, shouldn't we? Those are the only two things that matter that are going to last. And yet, sometimes I get so caught up in the temporal things, the things that really are not going to last. Things are going to burn one of these days and ain't going to make a hill of beans. It seems like that's what I get spending most of my time concerned about. Paul says his conflict was, hey, I could go on to be with Jesus, but he started realizing, hey, but these guys, they need me. They need me. That's what he's saying. He wasn't just thinking about his own situation, but he was thinking about others. And we're going to see as we get on over into the unity of the church and how Paul was all about unity and how he loved his brethren and how he cared about them. You know, you can't stop a man at what he's thinking about. His life, in other words, he's saying, you know, I'm torn. I could go to be with Jesus. I could go be Jesus, or I could stay here and help you. But look what he said. You can't stop a man like that. Look, go ahead and kill him. He will die with a smile on his face. Put him in prison. He will preach to the guards. Beat him. Put him in jail at midnight, and he'll start singing Amazing Grace. Stone him, and he'll use the rocks to build a sanctuary. That's the Apostle Paul. You can't stop a man like that or a woman with a mindset of victory. No matter what comes his way, you know what? He was just pointing people to Jesus. It did not matter. back to those five men who gave their life on that beach in Ecuador, 1956. Seems such a tragedy, you know, to people and the redeeming purposes that God had. But what happened as a result? Within a few years, 1,000 new missionaries went to the field because of their martyrdom. Rachel St. Elizabeth Elliott, this wife, moved to the Aqua Village and began to process the Bible translation. And then 9 years later, two of the men that helped kill their husband and the five missionaries had come to Christ, and they actually baptized Kathy and Steve Saint, daughter of Nate Saint, one of the men that got killed. It says a church was built and established among the Aka Indians, and in 1995, Steve Saint moved back. That was the son of Nate Saint, moved back to these people that had took his father's life. I don't know about you, but that's forgiveness, ain't it? That's having a mindset of victory. That you would go back. Elizabeth Elliott with her little daughter, 2-year-old daughter, moved back into that village and actually warned the people that killed her husband on that beach that day. That's a mindset of victory. What's so bad? Them men never had a clue that they'd touch the lives of thousands of people because of what they went through and did. Here's the kicker. As I'm studying this, and I'm using this, and I'm thinking about this, it comes a little closer to home. I stand before you today because of those five men's story. God used that when I read it way back when he called me into the ministry. I read about these guys that were willing to give their life for Christ and to die on a beach for Indians that they didn't even know because of the gospel, because they realized they would spend eternity in hell without Christ. And God used that so much into my heart that Jim Elliott became my hero, and I'm standing before you today in South Fort Baptist Church preaching you God's word because of their testimony. They died on a beach in 1956, and they're still bringing people to know Jesus Christ and to proclaim his gospel. That's what God can do with your life as well. It's a mindset of victory. Paul understood that. Paul understood that. Me to live as Christ and to die is gain. Well, what do we do? What's some applications that we can do with this lesson today? Number one, do what God gives you to do today. What's God telling you to do today? Just be obedient to Christ. Number two, trust God for tomorrow. He holds tomorrow, by the way, that old song. I know who holds my hand. You don't have to worry. He holds tomorrow. Whatever you're going through, I don't know what you're facing today. Trust God with tomorrow. And number three, death, when it comes, will be great gain for you if you're a child of the Lord. It'll be great gain. What a mindset of victory that we can have today, that we can share with Paul. I want everybody to bow your heads, eyes closed. Nobody moving, not even the instrumentalists. We'll have a time of that. But I want you, before the Lord right now, just you and God, nobody looking around, just you and God. Are you lost? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Do you know that you've come to that point in your life that you've received Christ? If you have not, if there's not been a time in your life that you've repented, asked God to forgive you, and you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if there's not been that point in your life, I want you to raise your hand right now before the Lord. All right. You believers, I want to ask you, how do you feel in that blank? To live is what? To live is what? What feels in that blank? If it's not Christ, make sure it's Christ. you do in quietness before the Lord, and then I'll end us in prayer. Make sure you get your cards. Invite somebody to church this week. This is a place to belong, man. It's full of good people. You guys love the Lord. Invite somebody to church with you this week. Do business with the Lord. Before the Lord. Just be quiet sometime. This is your people. Speak to their hearts, Lord. May this week, may they look for those opportunities. May they not get caught up with the things that comes to them in life that many times gets us off our focus, Lord. Help us to focus on what's important. People, Word of God. May we be about inviting people. May we be about sharing the good news. There's family out there right now that's suffered because of tragedy. There's young people out there that are hopeless because they haven't heard the good news through somebody they can share it with. It becomes very real to us this week. May we look for our opportunities in our mission field, and may we share God's word with glory and honor. And I thank you so very much for the privilege of being here. Thank you for these men that you used as a testimony in our life. May they continue to be a testimony to thousands of others, and may people raise up to realize